Well, it's 5:29 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Friday morning on our program, Nuru Suhoor. I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International. I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, I want to welcome our beloved, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malala Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Can you believe it? 15th of Ramadan, 1444. Ustad, it's a beautiful Friday morning, public holiday. Welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Zakaria. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, today the Mubarak blessed day of Jumu'ah Friday, we continue with the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran. Our starting point is chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verses 61 to 63. We know now there was famine, drought there in Palestine, in Canaan, and so many things had changed this side here in Egypt. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, Joseph has become the ruler, and they were having good bumper crops and harvest, and that side in Palestine, they were suffering at that time. So the news spread like wildfire that there is a benevolent ruler there in Egypt and is helping people. So the 10 brothers went and left Palestine and they came here to Egypt. Binyamin, Benjamin, stayed with Jacob, with Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam. He, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, immediately recognized them, but they did not recognize him, and he honored them and so forth and told them, now when you come the next time, you will get even a greater ration, but remember you must bring your brother. Your brother from your father's side, consanguine brother, half-brother, my full brother. Obviously he did not disclose that to them. And they said, and he told them, if you don't bring him, then don't come near me. So this was the brother's response. Chapter 12, verse 61. Qalu, they said, the 10 brothers, Sanuravidu anhu, we will try our level best to convince him, to persuade him, our father. Anhu abahu, that his father, meaning Jacob, we will try our level best. Wa inna lafa'ilun, and surely we will do so. We will convince him, we will persuade him. Wa qal, then when they were about to leave now, they're going back to Palestine. So Joseph, the ruler now of Egypt, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, says, وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. Fityan. So the fityan is a plural of fatah, that the youth. So he told the youngsters who were working there, that what you must do, لِفِتْيَانِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاعَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ, that money and whatever they brought, put it back in their luggage. So it means they got everything, the quota, the ration, free of charge. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا, so that they recognize it. When they return, إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ, to their family, after all he's his father, after all he's his full brother, and you know, as we say in English, blood is thicker than water, so these are his half-brothers, although they were guilty of a major crime, that they dumped him in the well and sold him as a slave and so forth. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, soon, so that they must return. They will come back also. I want to see them. I want to see my full brother as well. So many decades have passed. Now they reach Palestine. Now the discussion between the 10 children, the 10 sons, and beloved father, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob, Bin Yamin, obviously Benjamin, is just listening what's going on. فَلَمَّا رَجَوُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِمْ. Hence, when they return to their father, they're now in Palestine. And the condition of the father is deteriorating also. His excessive love for Joseph, handsome Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا مُنِيَ مِنَّ الْكَيْلِ. Oh, our beloved father. But it didn't say beloved father in that sense. I'm translating it. Oh, our father, we have been prevented now from the extra and so forth measurement, and you know the quota and the ration for future. So, فَأَرْسِلْ مَأَنَا أَخَانَا نَكْتَلْ. Yes, but if you send with us our brother, you see, now they'll say our brother, Binyamin, Naktal, then we will receive the full measurement. They don't know that in the luggage, the money and all that has been returned to them. Wa inna lahu lahafidun. And surely we will guard him, we will look after him. But look at the cross-reference in Surah Yusuf, chapter number 12, and verse number 12. What they told their father regarding Joseph, regarding Yusuf alayhi salam. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعَنَا غَدَىٰ. O father, send him Joseph with us tomorrow, that we're going for a picnic. يَرْتَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. And he will enjoy himself. He will play, he will run. وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. You see the same words, chapter 12 and verse number 12. So easy reference there, 12, chapter 12, verse 12. Here again they said, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Send us, with us, Joseph's full brother, Binyamin, and we will surely guard him. How these words were ringing in the ears of Jacob. And then what did he say? Obviously, it's fresh in his memory that what you did to Joseph and Yusuf alayhi salam. So what did the father say? Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue and explain to you the response of the father when they requested that Binyamin must be there accompanying them for the next journey to Egypt. Let us take you around the world, nationally, internationally, globally, for news, views, and interviews. So America declassified some information yesterday, and they said they should have left earlier from Afghanistan. They had a tacit, you know, a confession-like to make, to say that, yes, that we made a mess there in Afghanistan, but they can't. America is too proud and, you know, arrogant. So Taliban whooped them and lashed them and so forth. And not only America, but 48 countries coalition. And alhamdulillah, they received such booty and spoils of war beyond the imagination. They have one of the greatest amounts of F-16. They have so many things in their military. 20 plus years they fought the Afghan, the Mujahideen, the Taliban, and remember, more than $1 trillion they lost, and Taliban are back in power, and they're saying, Britain, you want to come? Come, we're waiting for you. Russia, you want to come? We're waiting for you. You haramis, Americans, come, we're waiting for you. We'll make it your graveyard. Alhamdulillah, yesterday from Lebanon, 2 rockets were fired into Israel. Let me make our stance very clear. You agree, don't agree, is your business. Any person, any organization, any country, remember, fires rockets into Israel, we will support him or her or whoever it is. Remember, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Because Israel is a illegitimate and is a harami. And you must remember, it is a terrorist Nazi regime. They have the tactics of Hitler and Hitler's children. Therefore, we call them Hitler's children. So remember, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh gave a message to the apartheid rogue terrorist regime. We will not keep our hands folded while you come and desecrate our masjid. You beat up our worshippers with batons, and you come with your stun grenades, and you come with all this here guns blazing, and you expect us just to keep quiet? It can never happen. You see, you esteemed listeners of Ansar Radio International and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wa Jama'ah, you must understand the big dichotomy and distinction and difference between the two. The Muslims, I'm speaking of true Muslims, I don't speak of the sellouts and traitors and fence sitters. People who sit on the fence are committing a big offense and a major offense. They're traitors to Islam as far as we're concerned. I'm speaking of the true Muslims. We embrace death. We die with death. We love our martyrdom and shahadat. And that's what our Palestinians are showing for the past 75 years. And these haramis, these Jews, these Zionists, the Jutlas, remember the hate death the most. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُؤَمَّرُ أَلْفَسَنَةً. They have the ardent desire to live for thousand years. Look at what the haramis say. Netanyahu is addressing the world media and tells them, no, we want to bring calm. We want to bring peace. Remember, just turn the situation the other way. There's a synagogue, and then the Muslims come in there with guns blazing and stun grenades. The whole world will say, anti-Semite terrorist. So are these people not terrorism? It's not your mosque, it's our mosque. How can you prevent us from praying in our mosque? How can you invade our mosque? How can you steal more and more land? And then you want to play yourself the victim? So nobody believes BB nowadays. 100 years of BB, a disaster for Israel. In his third term, the pogrom took place there. Remember in Huwara, the world saw who the terrorists are. The world saw who Ben Gvir is. He just wants to shoot and kill the Palestinians. Smotrich says there's no such thing as Palestine. So these are the biggest terrorists and war criminals. You must name them, you must shame them on social media. That's what they hate the most, and the Saudis and the Arabs hate the most, when you name them and shame them. And that's what we are doing on our media, on our social media. And I see Twitter is gone very, very good for us now. So everything we're posting against Israel, very good, it's going through. So you must remember, use it. Today is Jumu'ah, Good Friday for us. Every Friday is a Good Friday. But remember that our leisure time used in the pleasure of Almighty Allah. France, Macron, another harami there. So big protest against Macron and his pension policy. Macron thought he's a big shot, you know. He went to China and he thought he can change the mind of the Chinese Xi Jinping and so forth. So Ping played some ping pong with him. He said, get out from here. You don't come and waste our time. Our policy remains the same. We are standing with Russia, you see. So the block is being built. One side Russia, one side China, one side Iran, one side Turkey, and then the other puppet regimes will join them, who are always looking, you understand, who's the winning team. So therefore, you must know Putin is our man. He's putting them in the right place. And remember, he's a big harami, Putin, but we need haramis in cases like this also. In Japan, the Japanese helicopter crashes in the sea, 10 people dead. That also very good. So remember, they're standing with America and so forth. Now, can you believe this? China pulls up a scoop, like you know. So Iran and Saudi Arabia, their foreign ministers met way right there in China. And this is a meeting, first time after 7 years. And in 2 months' time, within 2 months, they will have embassies in one of the, in Riyadh and there in Tehran and so forth. And you Muslims, don't be surprised. Remember these words I'm telling you. We're in mid-Ramadan now. Don't be surprised if 100,000, 50,000 Iranians, Kuffar, Shias are there in Hajj this year, because they want to play peli-peli now. Say, no, now we are pals, don't worry. And they'll give them special concessions. Pakistan Parliament rejected what the Supreme Court's verdict was, and that is you can't delay the elections, but that is just political posturing. They will have to abide, otherwise they themselves will be in big problem. Now, can you believe Spain is going to invest in South Africa, and that is in the green projects? So I hope that you don't lose money. You know, South Africa is a little bit pear-shaped. You know, let's just leave it at that. Now, I'm not addressing the jutlas and the haramis. We are addressing you, the Christians. All of you Christians and you Muslim, wake up from your slumber. From a very young age, when we went to school and before that, we knew that Christmas is 25th December, and we knew Easter. Both are big lies. Christmas, I told you, not one Christian in the world can prove that Jesus was born on 25th December from any authentic scripture. So it is just something they concocted and fabricated. And if you know Palestine and occupied Palestine, then you will know it is winter there. And Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam's Milad Mubarak, honorable birth, took place in summer. See, Easter, I want all of you Christians to listen to me carefully, right? Go to your Bible, Matthew and chapter 12 and verse 40. I'm paraphrasing it. So Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah, Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam, was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, three nights. That's what the Bible says, right? And it's Matthew chapter 12 verse 40. And you, Jesus, you will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, three nights. Now let us go and see practically what happened. This is what the Christians say. We reject it absolutely and totally. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. The Jews are murderers of prophets and messengers. The Jews tried to kill and murder Jesus. So nor did they kill him and nor did they crucify him. That's Quran, okay? So they Christians say that they killed him and they crucified him and so forth. And then that Friday evening, this Friday, that's why they call it Good Friday. Friday evening, then he was placed in the tomb, in the Holy Sepulchre. That's the holiest church in Christendom. And the Muslims open it every day and close it every night. From 1187 till now, 88 years occupation of Crusaders till now, the Muslims open and close it. So now Friday night, then Saturday, right? So it's one night, one day. Saturday night, and so it's two nights and one day. Sunday morning, when Mary Magdalene comes there, she sees the tomb is empty. So how can the Bible say 3 days, three nights for Jonah in the belly of the fish, and for Jesus 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth? You count it yourself. So remember, it is one day and two nights, and then it was empty. So either your Bible is speaking lies, or either you are herd mentality. You know, masses are asses. So you go and ask your Pope, your pastor, your priest, what's all this going on? They're making you a big fool. Remember that, you Christians. And don't become herd mentality. I'm using your Bible, your reference. Better wake up. Sunak is asking for big trouble. Sunak says we are the first, he says we are the first country to supply heavy weapons and artillery to Ukraine. We are the first country, remember, to train Ukrainian pilots and so forth. You think Putin is not listening to all that? Putin's intelligence is everywhere. They're listening to me now also. So you must remember the day Putin's mind changed, and then you will see submarine coming into Britain, and Sunak will be sent back to India. So remember that. Let me end off with the South African story. Yesterday, the Minister of Electricity, you know how bloated our government is. Three-quarters of them, half of them, incompetent. If I had to run the show, half of them would be fired immediately. So he said that in the winter months, if things go but crazy, we will reach stage 10. Remember, where we will reach? Stage 10. So that's your ESCOM. They don't supply us, but they keep on increasing the tariff, and then they keep on threatening us and so forth. So what you call people like that? I call them hopeless, useless, good for nothing. That is what we are. May Almighty Allah have mercy on us. Ameen. Inshallah, 8:30 to 9 today will be Mufti Aku with Mazahid Khan. 11:25 South African time, Sheikh Bandar Balila will render the khutbah from Makkah. We will translate it and make dua, inshallah. And I myself, inshallah, will be in Northcliffe, Masjidullah, there in Northcliffe, Johannesburg, extension 25. Adhan day is 12:25 and 12:30 will be the bayan, the lecture. It will be live, inshallah al-Aziz, on Markaz Sahaba. So make dua. So make use this Friday, inshallah, our leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah.
A listener says, Ustad, I would like to know, my wife is pregnant and due next month. Must I take out fitra for the baby, Ustad?
Remember that to take out fitra for the hamal is not compulsory. But if you want to, you can do so. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu used to take out, but is not the verdict of majority scholars and majority sahaba. So if you want to, it's 35 rand, you can take it out, but it's not compulsory. And remember, all of you who have to pay fitra, you can pay it now, 35 rand per person. Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam zakat al fitra. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made zakatul fitr, sadaqatul fitr, both terms are synonymous. So first benefit is so that we purify ourselves from the wrong we perpetrated, committed whilst we were fasting. And then the secondary benefit is to help the poor Muslim brethren so they can also prepare for Eid and so forth and so on. So it is permissible for you to pay on behalf of the unborn baby, but not compulsory according to all four schools.
One listener says, is it true Afghanistan is mending ties with India, Ustad?
Yes, they are mending ties with everybody. You must remember that it is survival for them. As far as they are concerned, they will have good ties with Iran, they will have good ties with Saudi Arabia, they will have good ties with Russia, they will have good ties with China. So all that, because you must remember that the things, you know, economically, there was big problems there, and there is also. So that is the truth. So what is the truth? We have to speak, you must remember that. And it's in India's interest also, because if they don't invest in Afghanistan, they know Afghanistan will go more towards Pakistan. So it's a very strategic move on their part.
Somebody said, Ustad, my sister's husband owes a lot of money to people, of which they come to complain to me. Now he's having a big wedding for his daughter. Is it just for me to take meals at all his functions, Ustad?
Remember, our people there, they want to lead a life of luxury, you see. They want to have big, big wedding just to show off, for nothing else. And remember, then they will go into debt. They will take, you must remember, overdraft from the bank. Then they will get involved in interest. And then they will owe ABC, XYZ and all that. All these kind of big, big weddings, when you're owing 1,000 people, you're owing them million rand, you're owing 100 people, millions of them, it's all haram and not permissible. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. People who squander their wealth, remember that they are the brothers of Satan and Lucifer. And remember that it is all to show off. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَمَّ أَسَمَّ أَلَّهُ بِهِ. Whosoever wants the people to be impressed, Allah will disgrace them in front of those people. And how many times we saw that? So remember that the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, in life the law is this, in Islam, al-aham fal-aham, the law of priority. You must pay your debts first. You didn't pay your debts, you can't sit for itikaf. You didn't pay your debts, you can't go for umrah. You didn't pay your debts, you can't go for hajj. You must sort all these things out. Now, where a wedding comes in, brother, don't do all these things. Yeah, tomorrow you die, you go straight Jahannam. I didn't say so. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nafsul mu'mini mu'allakatun biduyunihi hatta tugza anhu. Hadith sahih in Musnad Ahmad. No person enters Jannah. So if you're not going to enter Jannah, where you will be? In Jahannam. until and unless the debts are paid. So therefore, we should not be fooling ourselves. Today, people want to have TVs, they want to have internet, they want to have Hollywood, Bollywood, Ravenhood, Tigerhood. They want to have, you must remember, smart, smart cell phones, smart, smart cars. And then, when they can't meet their commitments and payments, they're walking around for zakat. It's haram to give them zakat. Not permissible. And three-quarters organizations also are pocketing the money. Let me be very clear on that also.
One listener says, but Mufti Saab, why is Allah not punishing the Jews for what they're doing to the Palestinian Ustad?
They punished every day, my brother. You don't know what is going through them. لَيَبْأَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. Almighty Allah Jallala is punishing them every minute, every day. And this punishment will continue right till the day of justice. Have you been there to occupy Palestine? They even frightened of their shadow. Go and see in Ben Gurion Airport. They got people walking around every 5 minutes, checking this dustbin, checking that dustbin, that. When they're in the houses, they have to look this side, that side. Allah Ta'ala took peace away from them. Almighty Allah stamped on them disgrace. If a jutla comes to you, you say there's a jutla. So you must remember, Allah Ta'ala has disgraced them because they're murderers of prophets and messengers. They're murderers of children. How many children are in the Israeli jail? How many men, women, detention without trial? Where is America? Where is Europe? They're all accomplices in this crime. You must remember, where's the United Nations? It is the biggest terrorist system in the world, Israel and America.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that is Israel a third world country, Ustad?
100% fourth world country. When you say you are the only democracy in the Middle East, but the people who are born there, who are bred there, stayed there for centuries, you treat them worse than the apartheid of South Africa. So what must we call you? We will call you, it's like the apartheid regime we had in South Africa. South Africa had 40 million people, 35 million people, and they only catered for 5 million, 7 million people, the whiteys, the Boer, the Nationalist Party. So don't come and tell us stories. We know what is apartheid. So they only care for the jutlas. Palestinians mean nothing. Bennett, who was the prime minister, he admitted in an interview, he said, I killed many Arabs, and there's no problem with that. So imagine if your prime minister is speaking like that. The BB is 100% war criminal. Your Smotrich and Ben Gvir and them 100% war criminals. So for them to kill the Palestinians and injure them is just like killing flies for them. So remember that what democracy you speak about. 100% failed state and the economy is failing everything. The Western leaders now have caught up with BB and Benjamin Netanyahu. America also not invited him, their biggest pal, because they saw through them how they lie and what propaganda they make. So remember, this is Allah's system. تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Chapter 59 and verse number 14. And what Allah Ta'ala says, you think that they are united, but their hearts are totally fragmented. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Because they got no brains. You will see tomorrow night, Saturday night, another 100, 200, 300,000, inshallah, people will be marching, protesting 13 consecutive weeks. It never happened in the history of Israel. Allah Ta'ala's curses on them.
Somebody says here, but Mufti Saab, when someone goes for Umrah without a mahram, what is the punishment to start?
Allah Ta'ala's curse is on that lady. There yesterday, the lady asked the question that her daughter is going to teach or do work or nurse or whatever there in Saudi Arabia. I said, we don't make dua for that. Her umrah is not an accepted umrah. Her hajj is not an accepted. Saudi verdicts are not worth the paper on which is written. Saudi Arabia today is under a tyranny and a dictator, and the dictator is not a Muslim, is a murtad, MBS, murtad bin Shaitan. So they will tell you, if you're 30 years old, 40 years old, you can just go without a mahram and you don't need all this. So they're making tahrif, they're changing the whole Islamic law. So you must remember that. So any person goes for umrah, the lady without a mahram or without a husband, she's cursed by Almighty Allah, cursed by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that umrah is not accepted umrah. It is a mal'oon umrah, a umrah where she's cursed on. We must understand, and all four schools agree on that. There's consensus on that issue.
I've got Dr. Saab. He says, Mufti Saab, how is life in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, Ustad?
So you must remember, they want to impress the world now. So yesterday I heard an interview of his. So you must remember that they want to make Riyadh, like, you know, a special international capital, meaning that they want to prepare for the 2030 World Cup. They want to prepare for the 2030 Expo and all that. So all these artificial changes will be brought. Women can drive. We will bring the rave shows. We will bring the Formula One. We will have bikini beaches, parda, hijab, all that. We scrap all this, Allah forbid. So it is all. But you speak one word against the government, they'll put you away for 10, 20, 30 years. So there's no human rights or anything. Absolute dictatorship. And remember, therefore, they're so humiliated in all parts of the world. The only thing that makes Saudi work is their money and their oil. So even the day people know it, if they don't have money and oil, the West will give them a kick. Remember that.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, this is Sister Amanda. She says, what is the prediction of the future according to your Holy Bible, Ustad?
Regarding the Quran teaches us things will go bad to worse. So you can see in the world, who are the leaders? Corrupted people. In Mauritania, supposed to be a Muslim country, the president is charged with $70 million corruption, one person. So whether it's Muslim country, whether it's non-Muslim country, so you will see things will go pear-shaped and things will go. And what will happen is this, that remember that the evil forces will gain the predominance and the people on truth will get less and less. Then Hazrat Mahdi will come, Nabi Isa, Jesus' second coming, and then things will change for the better. So that is what will happen, and then the Muslims will rule the entire world, and then after Jesus' demise in Medina Munawwara, he'll be buried next to the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Muslims will pass away, and then only non-Muslims, and that will usher in the day of justice. Last question.
Ustaz, I've got Luke. He says, AK, I tried your fast, but it creates temper in my heart. How do you overcome this problem, Ustad?
So that's why we call it fast, my brother. You must learn to suppress your desires. The car, you take it for a major service, bumper to bumper. So this is our major service, head to toe. So we have to guard our eyes, our thoughts, our ears, our tongue, everything from all haram, so, and things that are unlawful. So when you want to get angry and lose your temper, then you suppress it for the love of Allah. So then you must know spiritually you're becoming a better human being. So that is what it is. Look, you must look at the Quran and La'allakum tattaqoon, chapter 2, verse 183, so that you develop the quality of Almighty Allah consciousness, Ameen. God consciousness. We leave it there, inshallah. 11:25 will be the khutbah. I will be in Northcliff, 12:25 Adhan, and that is Masjidullah and Extension 25. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.